This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. Looks like we're in store for some beautiful weather here coming up, and we are glad you have joined us today. Well, our topic today is not something that we enjoy talking about by any means, and something that we have been seeing several times in our state, and we're going to be talking about the recent school shooting here in the Denver area, STEM school shooting. And we want to get our good friend Joe Dedon with us. Joe is with TAC One Consulting, and we'll go through some of Joe's credentials here in just a moment. But I hope everyone will just stay with us for the full hour today. We're going to be giving a lot of information about this and just talk about a lot of training that is available out there, and even for teachers and schools, and even for us just as regular citizens. And so, Joe, hey, man, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, no problem. You know, it's unfortunate. I think you and I have had these discussions over the years, and, you know, first and foremost, just want to, you know, the thoughts are with the families affected at the recent shooting down there.
Sure.
And, you know, the first responders and just, you know, the kids, and I mean, the whole Denver community again is, you know, reminded of the harsh reality and the times we live in. And parents are scared. You know, how do they talk to their parent? You know, their kids. Kids are upset. You know, it's just very unfortunate.
Very, very much. Yeah, for sure. You know, before we even get to this one, let's reflect back even a couple of weeks ago. A young lady came here from Florida, purchased a shotgun, and made, I guess, in terms of what the FBI and authorities thought felt was a credible threat, and shuts down, you know, schools all across Denver for a day. And, I mean, what does that just in itself say about our whole school security system out there? You know, one person and one gun and shuts down everything.
Yeah, you bet. And I think that's obviously a sign of the times, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as, I mean, the logistical standpoint, as far as shutting down the schools, the impact to the economy, you know, millions of dollars of resources spent, you know, from the school district standpoint, law enforcement, and also just, you know, parents not going to work. You know, I mean, they closed down county buildings. I mean, it was a pretty aggressive response. And so that's the one, I guess, positive that, you know, now we're no longer going to err on the side of caution and not take the appropriate steps when we have a credible threat, you know. And that's
sure.
A lot of the big push is, you know, trying to prevent these from happening and taking those warning signs, those red flags seriously, you know, before these things happen. And if you look at that, the incident, you know, last month, she took that overt step of actually traveling here, purchasing that firearm. Now, I've spoken to my friends and family members and other business, you know, contacts and whatnot, and they've asked my opinion on it. I said, well, we're luckily she had done that, because quite honestly, had she not done that, as far as especially purchasing, not just even traveling to the area, but actually purchasing that firearm, and they were able to figure that out,
yeah,
you know, they may not have taken that step, that preventative measure. So,
sure.
You know, they would have done what we call like a BOLO, you know, they would have sent out information to local law enforcement and said, hey, be on the lookout for this person traveling from Florida. This is, you know, we think that she might be a threat to harm, you know, a Columbine style attack or others, you know, suicidal, homicidal, what have you. And I think it would have been business as usual. They might have had a little extra presence, you know, with SROs and, you know, district cops, you know, stopping by schools a little more often for a few days. But, you know, it was a blessing in disguise, I guess, that she took that overt act and did that. Otherwise, you know, things may have ended up differently.
Right. Joe Dedon is our guest. He is the owner of TAC One Consulting. So, Joe, just to kind of set this for those that have not heard you before, I want to kind of go through your credentials your training before we get into, you know, you giving the advice that you give today. I just want to give everybody, hey, you know, you're the real deal. And I mean, man, that's why I wanted to get you on today. So give us just a little bit of your background, and then we'll get into our subject today.
You bet. Yeah. So just kind of in a nutshell, I used to work for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office from 2002 to 2010. My time spent there was training the academy, working patrol, training new recruits and new hires on the street, and then on their regional SWAT team. I wasn't at Columbine. A lot of my peers, obviously, when I came on 3 years after Columbine, were first responders there, you know, SWAT team members, you know, district patrol cops. So I got intimately familiar with what took place at Columbine because, you know, our department at the time in Colorado and just law enforcement in general was still reeling from changing our tactics and mindset of, you know, what had just occurred and what had started to occur, you know. So that's when I got into law enforcement. Time there, I was at Deer Creek, or sorry, Platte Canyon High School was the first school shooting I went to. And, you know, all the, I think people in Colorado are familiar with that one. And then Deer Creek Middle School was the last one I responded to in 2010. I was on patrol at the time. And I spent in 2007, I started Tackle and Consulting. So we've been at 11 years and primarily specialized at first, you know, just in that active shooting response for law enforcement. You know, I had responded a few at the time. I had coworkers and others that had responded to Columbine. So we would travel to the rural area and prepare them what I call now, and I kind of refer to as that single officer response, you know, that active shooter for training for that one lone officer, kind of like the whole Parkland deal where, you know, we assume these cops are going to have the training they need and the mindset to get in there. But, you know, the only way that you can prepare them is through the training. So started taking training mobile. Since then, been to 42 states. We do state, local law enforcement trainings, primarily, you know, active shooter related classes. And then it spilled over the years into obviously school districts, started doing that around 2009 and 10. You know, we'd been there working with the schools and school administrators would say, hey, we do have a lockdown plan, but not sure it's the best one. What do you recommend doing? And then after going to Deer Creek and seeing what Dr. Benke did, you know, tackling the gunmen, I came up with a program, a very aggressive program, which is somewhat slowly becoming mainstream now, but advocating, you know, teachers to make other decisions and be aggressive. But yeah, it's taken many shapes and forms. Now we do workplace active shooter trainings. We've done Fortune 500 companies all across the United States. So in a nutshell, that's the background. We've got thousands of hours of providing this training on all sides, the armed response, the unarmed response, medical response. So,
and you know, you mentioned even the workplace, and I think, I mean, good night. Every time we see something by this, and if you're out in the public, you pass by a TV, most of us will look up and say, what state is that in? And unfortunately, everybody's looked around and said, you know, that's been here several times. But I think many of us just don't even ever dream of something happening at a workplace. And so when we have you on to talk about this, I mean, I hope all business owners will tune in and listen up that, you know what, to have you in for just a training thing and what they want to implement at the end of the day, hey, that's up to them. But just to have you in to bring up some of these topics and some of these things that could, you know, make everybody safer, man, I just don't get it why every school would not have you in. And then, like I say, at the end of the day, what they want to change or implement is up to them, but at least let you bring up to speed of what you could do for them.
Yeah, you bet. And that's the thing is it's getting a little more accepted, you know, unfortunately, like, again, as they keep occurring in all different areas and regions and venues. But it's, you know, we have several different programs. You know, it's like our school faculty program. It's about three and a half hours, you know, for teachers. You know, they're well versed in the subject. They have other forms of training that they do. I obviously think ours is the better one, the more comprehensive one out there, and it's certainly the more aggressive style. But it's, you know, we can do lunch and learns for an hour where we just come in and talk about the subject and give them some options so at least mentally they're thinking about it, whether they're, you know, in a high-rise, you know, complex in Denver on the 15th floor, 30th floor, or if they're out traveling at, you know, an oil and gas convention or a real estate seminar you know, Commercial Property Management Company Association, whatever these different, you know, people travel, they go to see clients in different venues. You know, it's life skills that, you know, not only serve that, you know, check that box for workplace safety and risk management, and even in the schools, it's investing in, you know, your employees, your teachers, or your students as a life skill. You know, they can use it in any venue. Doesn't necessarily have to take place there.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's just not required for the most part as far as, you know, in the private sector. Now, risk management and HR people are starting to contact us, but, you know, it's not an OSHA requirement. It's, I think eventually certainly it will be at some point for certain types of businesses. But, again, that's years ahead, looking down the road. But if it's, you know, how it is, it's budget, time. But it's well worth it. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people – they go into these different venues and they're like, wow, this is great training. I'm so glad that, you know, my employer provided this for me. This is awesome. Because they all think about it. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell you what, one more question for you, and then we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back and get into some specifics here. But, I mean, you could have chosen a lot of different areas in training to do, and for you to narrow in on, you know, this one to be one of the larger focuses of your business for school training. Why did you pick that for your vocation, kind of?
You know, I loved it, and I just saw what was out there and what we were teaching our teachers. You know, for the most part, as far as, you know, the same response we try to come up with in the fall of 1999. You know, the blanket easy response for teachers. You know, lock the door, hide in the corner, and just going out there and seeing the difference and the confidence that we provide them, it really inspired me to keep doing it. And it's, I tell you what, we do some really, really awesome trainings where, you know, people would love to even just witness, you know, when we do our big SWAT schools or our dignitary protection classes, or we do some pretty crazy stuff that not a lot of people don't get exposed to. But I think I speak for a lot of my instructors too. When we go out and do these active shooter trainings for school districts, for the workplace, we meet so many great people that are so thankful to hear what we have to say. Mm-hmm. And we change mindset and we see the confidence when we leave. And I think that keeps us going, you know, and a lot of people are getting is watered down and they don't understand that. The school districts will give you a watered down response, and some other companies or even FEMA, Homeland Security, it's a watered down plan for the masses, but they don't know the difference, but we do. We know the difference in our training. We know the difference when we get out there. And then when we leave, people are like, wow, this is my second active shooter training. And I learned more in 10 minutes than I learned in, you know, 2 hours of that over my career here, or, you know, so it's our product. And I think it's just the way with, you know, that we get to interact with so many different people that aren't, you know, aren't cops, aren't security minded for the most part. But yet, when we leave, we give them way better options than what we had, you know, prior to us showing up.
So. Sure. Joe Dedon is with us, TAC1 Consulting. You can check them out at TAC1Consulting.com. That's TACONE Consulting. You can also call Joe 720-425-5687, 720-425-5687. If you've got questions, we'll open up our phone lines, 303-477-5600. And I say questions, you got comments or you want to ask Joe about certain things with security, schools, churches, whatever, we'll take your calls. 303-477-5600. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
Got a road trip plan for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. If you're just joining us, Joe Dedon is with us, TAC1 Consulting. Once again, that's T-A-C-O-N-E consulting.com. Their number is 720-425-5687. And we will get into a lot of the training that Joe offers here in just a moment. So, Joe, I tell you, you know, one of the first things that came out after this shooting, the STEM school shooting, is these three young people that appear to have said, hey, this isn't going to happen here. And boy, the young man, Kendrick Castillo, I believe his name, was unfortunately fatally shot, but again, seemed to take this very quickly. And Brandon Biley, and I may be pronouncing that last name wrong, and Joshua Jones, but these three were really credited with jumping on the shooters here. So, kind of just talk about that a minute and maybe the mentality that you've seen change over the 20 years.
You know, selfless, you know, give up your life for someone else. I mean, that's a very small percentage of community that would ever think about doing something like that. So that young man saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that community will forever be grateful for him. You know, his classmates, his friends. I just saw a couple interviews, you know, very emotional time obviously for his family and his friends, and it's you know, some people just have it in them, and then that's what we're going to talk about a little bit is you know, these kids did that on their own. And you know, Kendrick, you know, he was sounded like he was kind of like the first wave, and he kind of initiated the attack. And you know, if it wasn't for his quick actions and the actions of the other two, you know, I think you would have seen a lot bigger you know, a lot bigger head count as far as, you know, injuries and possible deaths. So, you know, it's very, very lucky that, honestly, that he decided to do that. So, you know, even with the armed school security there and whatnot, it's what those three kids did, changed that outcome from the very beginning. And that's what we talk a lot about in our trainings is, you know, we can have that armed security there. We can have police, you know, training and getting into the buildings quick. We can have fire and EMS right behind them. But the actions of those first people, what we call on that ambush point, that X, think of, you know, 9/11 when the towers came down. The actions of those people will change the outcome for everybody else involved and everybody else on that campus. So, you know, it's that 15 to 30 seconds. What do you do in that initial attack? And those kids stepped up and they did a good thing, and Kendrick, you know, lost his life doing so. Definitely saved saved handfuls of kids, sure. No doubt. And that's what we're looking at. And we progressed from doing the school staff, but a year and a half ago, we started doing the student training. And I think that's the biggest missing link here is empowering students. Young adults, especially, at least middle school on up, we have K through 12 program, but it's an easier, I think, pitch to some of our clients now is doing the middle school and the high schoolers is actually providing them formal training, not just including them in the lockdown drills, that they participate in quarterly because they're mandated to, and becoming an asset for teachers, not a liability, but an asset, to teachers and their fellow classmates. So. Mm-hmm. We were approached about a year and a half ago. Some of our very rural clients said, hey, we've trained with you guys for several years now as far as staff members. We want to do something for our students. And we kind of rolled out a pilot program. And then after Parkland, we saw another example of maybe a failure of a law enforcement side. And then also, obviously the indicators were there, so the prevention side. And then we also saw kind of a failure in leaving the kids in the dark. There was 3.5 minutes where, a group of eight kids stood on the third floor while the shooter was on the second floor, and they tried to get back into a locked classroom door, and that's all they've known is shelter in place, hide in the classroom, turn off the lights, lock the door, get away from the door. And when that option was no longer available because they got split up from their staff members, right. They waited 3.5 minutes for him to come up one flight of stairs, go down that hallway with a rifle, and six out of the eight end up getting shot, and a lot of them were mortally wounded. So had they been shown another option, hey, evacuate, and here's how you do it correctly, or, fight if you have to, or fight if you need to right off the bat, don't try to barricade first, maybe go straight to fighting. For those kids and Kendrick and his classmates, they didn't have an option to barricade. The shooter was right there with them. So, mm-hmm. We don't have an option to hide. Somebody has to act, somebody has to do something. But we don't talk to them about that. We provide them one option. And under stress, when that one option is gone, they'll never find another option. Those of you who are, any combat vets, any law enforcement officers, even people who are into martial arts or even athletes, everybody understands how the human mind works under extreme pressure. And it doesn't think, cognitively like we do. It goes back to places you've been or things you've done or motor skills or, skills that you've refined through practice and drills. And then that's where you revert to, we call it the DVR, your file footage, whatever, where you go back to jump into action and do it without thinking. And that's the part with the training. And so we've now done 5 public school districts in Wyoming and 2 public school districts in Arizona where we've trained their entire student bodies, and they love it. It was after Parkland. We got some more calls for it, and I said, it's time. And they said, yeah, we want to train our students. I said, well, we've been working our program. We've started it. We've been refining it over the last year, so it's pretty dialed in now. It's age-specific. Obviously, with the little kids, you can't do much. They have short attention spans, like herding cats, but it's very low stress, but it's practical, and it empowers them, and it gets on to, your middle school to high schoolers where they almost become self-sufficient, to where that at the direction of a staff member, they can help, or as a group of students, they can start, working together as a team and helping themselves. So it's pretty awesome. We've been very busy the last year doing that, and it's been well received by county commissioners, sheriffs, police chiefs, superintendents, school boards, parents that come and observe because we invite the parents because, obviously some of them are concerned because of the topic. But,
right.
When we roll out of the town or the city, it's, wow, thank you so much for coming up. I'm glad my kid learned this because we have talks at home at the dinner table, and they tell me what, they hide in the corner, and somebody said, that's not appropriate. I don't want my kid hiding. I want my kid to do something, or I want him to get out of here, and, when I can't be around to protect them. So that's our new push, mm-hmm. And I think that's what hasn't been done. It's we're starting to get the armed security there. We're starting to arm teachers, which is great. I'm all for that. You know, we do the firearms training and the aggressive teacher training for that for the state. And but again, even if you put one inside a school, an armed presence inside a school, they can't be there in every part of the campus, you know. And, sure. You know, literally what those people do on that X, where that incident starts, whether it's in a classroom, in the cafeteria, during passing period, you know, out in the bus lane, wherever that attack occurs, it's those people right there, those non-unarmed people, it's the decisions they make right there are going to change the chain of events to positively impact them.
Right. Because you look at schools today, I mean, man, when I grew up, I mean, you know, schools were a lot smaller. And I mean, now there are these campuses almost, you know, and there's hundreds of doors in and out. And I bet if you and I went around to most schools today, you and I could walk in a lot of different doors.
Oh, completely. And that's the thing we talk about to these larger school districts, you know, because it's about money and funding and time. I mean, when they have to say, well, are we going to spend X amount of dollars for TAC 1 to come out for 3 days and train all of our students in 2-hour blocks, or are we going to spend money on cameras, magnet, you know, metal detectors, bulletproof glass? You know, they throw all this stuff at it. And that's great, but it's a huge investment. And do those things work? Sure. Do they prevent things? Yes. Do they serve the purpose they do? But, you know, and they're all, like I said, different shapes and sizes, where some are brand new, some are old. They don't have intercoms. Some don't have, like, you know, campus-wide intercoms. Some do. Some have mobile staff that can't communicate with the staff up front, you know, via old school radios. And so I tell them, I said, no matter what campus you have or how big your school is, if it's a charter school of 60 or a public high school of 2,000, the best thing you can do and the cheapest thing you can do is invest in every individual and give them some confidence and some knowledge and a couple of skills that may save their life.
Right.
You know, you can put up all of those fancy items as deterrents, you can spend all the money in the world in technology, but it's going to be a drop in the bucket of what you'll spend per person, you know, empowering them to make a quick decision. And that quick decision might be fighting like Kendrick did. That quick decision might be just running or evacuating, you like to call it, because I don't like to advocate running out of our shoes and into danger, but a calculated evacuation. Or it could be just, okay, I realized I can't get out. I need to start barricading. How do I do that, you know, with the type of furniture, the type of, you know, environment I'm in? So, you know, it's just it's each individual, and that's what's so important about these large campuses, is that everybody's individual action, and especially those larger campuses, adds up to a huge, huge effort if done correctly. You know, if everybody's on the same page, the staff, the students,
sure,
the outcome is going to be like this week, where one fatality versus 27, you know, and it's people are going to get injured. People are going to lose their lives. But can we minimize that by all facets, you know, the prevention, the detection, the response, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you look at the courage that these young people had, and you look at what training does for you, I mean, I don't know if training gives you courage, but I guarantee you training gives you confidence, and with confidence comes some courage. So all of this plays hand in hand. You're going to be better off with some real aggressive, and we'll use that term that you did, your aggressive type training, because you know what? When these things are happening, it's aggressive then, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And exactly right. I mean, and that's what just showing them and giving, like I said, giving that confidence, it does. It will empower some people to do something for themselves, and that's the thing, is it is aggressive, and when it's life or death situation, it has to be aggressive, you know. And that's the biggest pushback from large public school districts is well, this is super aggressive, this is very, you know, it's not, and these things too, they're so fluid, you can't have one response. And that's the thing, is what they don't get is you can't have one response. I can't have an answer for everything in these school shootings. I can't make a student or a teacher bulletproof. I wish I could. We can't detect every bad apple out there that's going to commit these heinous crimes. But, you know, but what we can do is provide options. And that's the biggest failure of the major, by and large, the public school district, especially in Colorado. How many school shootings later? They haven't done really anything. All the thing they've done, and they can paint it any fancy way they want, put great, you know, public press releases out there, how much they train with the police department, they collaborate, and their teachers all have training, and they do lockdown drills, you know, once a quarter. That's all smoke and mirrors. Literally, the only thing you've done since Columbine is advocate shelter in place, which was their original plan in 1999, you know, rely on a lock and a light to save your life. And they just recently, 4 or 5 years ago, because they realized that they were getting outdated, they added in the self-evacuation if possible. And that was probably right after Arapahoe High School shooting, you know, and that was certainly after Deer Creek and Platte Canyon. But it took that many more school shootings to say, okay, state of Colorado, if you're going to have this, you know, a standard response protocol that every school district's going to have to meet, let's get away from the old school, just lock the door. I think every big, you know, it's small school districts, big school districts, if you have a state requirement, it has to fit them all. And they'll say, okay, maybe we can evacuate now. But they still don't advocate the fighting back by anybody, staff or students, anybody, you know.
Sure.
And sometimes that's what you got to do, you know, and sometimes it's not. And here's another big thing is everybody does the run, hide, fight, run, hide, fight. Well, if I told you run, hide, fight for 15 years, and if I made you watch a video, that's all they advocated, you're going to go in that exact order. You're going to say, I'm going to have to try to get out of here first. If that doesn't work, I'm going to hide. And at the very last option, I'm going to fight. Well, for Kendrick and those classmates, that wasn't the best option. The best option right away was to fight. And people don't understand that. When we go to the workplace and they watch these Homeland Security videos, or they, you know, you go to these different schools and they're like, well, we're going to shelter in place, evacuate, and then they don't even mention fight until we get there. But it's like, okay, that's great. But hey, fighting might be the first option. Yeah, right. We may have to get violent before you use it as a last-ditch resort. It might be your first resort, you know?
Sure. Joe Dedon is with us, TAC One Consulting. And again, Joe, we'll come back. We're going to get into some of these seminars and different things Joe does. But if you are looking for some training, or if this conversation has made you realize you need to get some training, I hope you'll give Joe a call. 720-425-5687. His website is TAC One Consulting. You can also follow him on Facebook at that, TAC One Consulting. And this is individual teachers, full staff, schools, school districts, corporations, I mean, churches. And I want to touch on that in a minute, too, because unfortunately, two places we never dreamed all this would happen would be schools and churches. And also, Joe does great courses for civilians and concealed carry training as well. So, Joe, real quick, before we go to our break, I got a text in here. It said, can you explain the difference between when a school says it's on lockout versus lockdown?
Yeah, so lockout is for an outside threat. That just restricts movement to or into and out of the building. So it could be used, like, you know, so you have, like, say, a police chase and they got an armed suspect in the area, they'll do a lockout. So it's business as usual inside. You know, classes can move. They can have, you know, passing period, lunch hours, but no one could leave the facility and no one could come in. And then your lockdown is that's for an inside threat or an unknown threat inside the campus or inside the walls of the school, to where they're restricted from moving from their classrooms, and that's where they go into their active shooter response, where they're going to hopefully barricade some doors. So lockout is, you know, basically just locking the campus so no one can leave or come in. And then lockdown is now we think somebody's inside the campus or inside these walls, restricting movement from classrooms and then getting ready to defend themselves and, you know, barricade their doors.
Great. All right. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. And real quick, before we take our break, I want to thank Dr. Mark Riggs with 5280 Functional Medicine. Normally, this next half hour is his, and he gladly let us have this show with Joe today. So Dr. Riggs will be joining us next Friday at 12:30 for our 5280 Functional Medicine segment. But we're with Joe Dedon, TAC One Consulting. Again, if you've got questions or comments for Joe, we'll take your calls, 303-477-5600.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Procrastination and hesitation yield the same result, no meaningful decision. Steve Hurley here at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Questions and concerns regarding reverse mortgages need to be addressed. I can help. My main job is educating those that want to understand the value and benefits of considering such a mortgage. Remember, take aim at 720-895-0500 and ask for me, Steve Hurley. NMLS number 243-200, regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
Don't let mosquitoes disrupt your family fun at your next barbecue or keep the kids from camping out in the backyard. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I'm very happy that our outdoor activities have been mosquito-free for the last 4 years thanks to the fine folks at Mosquito Authority. Their mission is to help protect you and your family from mosquitoes and the diseases they carry. And did you know when your dog or cat is bitten by a mosquito, heartworm is one of the most common infections? At Mosquito Authority, they guarantee you won't be bothered by mosquitoes between treatments. And if you are, hey, all you have to do is call. They'll come back out, reassess your property, and if necessary, retreat at no additional charge. No contracts, no commitments, and best of all, no mosquitoes. Call 303-688-2847. That's 303-688-2847. Or visit mosquitoauthority.com.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Joe D. Don is our guest, TAC1 Consulting. That's TACONE Consulting. Joe's number, 720-425-5687. So, Joe, when we talk about schools, churches, different things like this, unfortunately, again, we've seen way too many of these. Let's take it to that side, maybe of even churches a little bit, because there you've got a totally different setting because most everyone is in one auditorium and one room. What are just some thoughts with just some of the training you may do for churches?
Yeah, so we do two different things. We have the ability to bring in, because a lot of churches, they'll have CCW holders or just, you know, security staff, whether it's, you know, just the average gun person or, you know, the volunteers and, you know, some of the community, the church members that volunteer to, you know, carry and like a pseudo security team. Some have actual.
Keep your train of thought, but which, well, I will say, can be very alarming and dangerous without proper training itself, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. So, you know, because they call us quite a bit, you know, and we bring out our training in there. You know, some are very large, some are just a couple people. You know, some are, you know, cops are just off duty, you know, they're part of the, you know, part of the church community, and they go, you know, on the weekends and attend everything. So, you know, there's some people that are super highly trained in there, and there's some people that are just, you know, taking a class at a coffee shop, getting a permit, and carrying now inside your church. So, yeah, well, when we start talking about that, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea to have, like I said, properly trained people in almost every public venue, really. I mean, it's just what needs to happen. But so what we do is we bring out our simulations equipment, and it's law enforcement grade training equipment to where we can actually put those security members or whatever they call them, all different sorts of things, security teams. We can put those people through some of the same training that we would provide, you know, the law enforcement officers if they were responding. So it's all like single person based, because there's only one or two of them there at a time, but it focuses on, you know, target identification, movement, and how to avoid maybe a possible, like we've seen maybe reports of a blue on blue, what we call good guy on good guy shooting, where, you know, one of those security members now dressed, you know, typically like everyone else there, they whip out a pistol or, you know, to eliminate the threat or deal with something, and then now local law enforcement's coming in, you know, they can't communicate. So, you know, how do we not prevent, you know, people from firing on each other, things like that. So pretty in-depth program. And I recommend it to these churches all the time. And I know they have limited funds and they have limited time and they think everything's great. But I tell you what, you get a shooting inside one of those,
yep,
and something bad goes wrong, lawsuits are going to fly. I don't care how people get along and how great everybody thinks everybody is. So, if you don't properly train people and you're going to recognize them as a security team, you're going to set yourself up for liability. So, you know, how often do those people shoot? Do you check to see if they can even qualify on some sort of a target? How proficient are they? So, you know, it's a great idea, but I don't think until they call us and they ask us, you know, what our recommendations are as far as training, they don't realize the importance of actual having, you know, standard, dedicated, actual, you know, realistic, documented training for these people.
Sure.
And that's a huge, very huge piece of that risk management. You know, the insurance companies are going to want to know.
Yeah, no doubt. So. No doubt, for sure. So what are some upcoming classes that you may have, and what are some things just, and again, well, I hope the school district will jump on this, and teachers, and I want to quickly say, I mean, hey, teachers out there, sometimes you may just have to pay for your own training and do your own thing, but I'm telling you, that wouldn't be a bad investment just for teachers to give you a call as well.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's the thing is what we're going to do this July. We obviously have access to quite a few different schools throughout the metro area. So, you know, after this week and the events, you know, last month with the lockdowns and lockouts from the Florida lady, you know, I get contact all the time. You know, hey, I'm a teacher. I work for, you know, Jeffco or Apo Public Schools or Aurora, whatever. And, you know, we don't get this type of training. Do you offer something? We haven't done just open enrollment classes before, but what I wanted to talk to you about today and kind of announce to your listeners, and I just put it up on Facebook, we're working on putting it on our website, is that on July 20th, we're going to have open enrollment for students 6th grade through, so 6 through 12, and also school faculty members. So it's going to be held in Denver, North Denver. I'm not going to give out the exact location. And it's going to be inside of school, obviously. But it's going to be open enrollment. So it's going to be our aggressive Beyond the Lockdown program. So you're going to be broken into three different groups. It's going to be middle school age, so 6 through 8 we'll put together. And then 9 through 12 will be together. And then staff will be by themselves. So we're going to have 3 iterations. It's going to be from 9 to 1. They're working out all of the details. There are going to be some costs involved, but I'm trying to obviously minimize the cost because I think it's something that needs to be done. It'll create a lot of buzz. But I'm trying to see, you know, if we can get some, maybe some local sponsors or something to offset the cost because, you know, for us to do it right and, as far as breaking down into where we need to, as far as, you know, the middle schoolers, the high schoolers and the student, or the school faculty members, we're going to have a, you know, quite a big crew out there working that day. So, you know, there's going to be some overhead, some significant overhead on our side. So I haven't worked out the details as far as cost, but it's going to be minimal. We're going to do our best to kind of keep costs down, but we're going to do an open enrollment class first time.
Okay, well, cool. We will definitely get you on between now and then and really help you promote this because, yeah, that'll be a great, great deal. Again, you can check them out. TAC1 Consulting, TACONE Consulting. Joe's number, 720-425-5687. And as he just mentioned, you can also follow him on Facebook. All right, Joe, let's talk a little bit about concealed carry and things that you see yep. with that and some of the weaknesses in that, because I am the first to admit, you know, I don't get out and nearly shoot near enough. And so what do you if people are wanting to take a class, I mean, you know, there is not a law in Colorado where you've got to go to the range, but, man, don't you really recommend people doing some shooting when they take a class?
I do. You know, now we've been doing it for so long. It's been, 11 years probably now since I think we started doing CCW shortly after our law enforcement stuff. So at least 10, 11 years we've been doing classes. And, you know, it's, you know how many times we've heard, well, I've been taught by so-and-so, or my husband was in the Army, or my dad was a retired, state, you know, cop, or, you know, he's taking me shooting, or, you know, my wife is a cop and taught our kids, you know, whatever. And they don't even know how to hold a gun, you know. And you're like, okay, you know, okay, I get it. So-and-so that was an expert, whoever that person is in your family, you know, took you out shooting. And now you're well-versed at, you know, shooting a pistol. But half the 9 out of 10, they can't even get a correct grip. So, I mean, that's a baseline fundamental for 90% of your accuracy is how you grip the pistol, the firearm. So, I highly recommend it. I mean, if you're going to a class where you're not actually physically going out shooting a gun, you're just doing a disservice to yourself and those around you. And it's a small price to pay, a little bit more of your time, a little extra money to take a quality class because that gives you the fundamentals, you know. And we preach so much on fundamentals, whether it's athletes, whether it's your high performing, you know, elite. You know, SWAT units, your special forces units, those people are so good. Those guys and gals are so good at their job, at gunfighting, at close quarters battle, whatever their mission, whatever their roles are. They're so good at what they do because they mastered the fundamentals. And those fundamentals we're talking firearms and personal protection and whatnot, their fundamentals are working the firearm that they're using, whether it's a rifle or pistol, whatever their roles are. But it's mastering that firearm, you know, to where they never have to think about anything. They never have to think about how they're going to hold it. They never have to think about how they're going to aim. They never have to think about how they're going to do a reload under pressure, under stress. And that's why they're so good. You know, they master a few things about shooting on the move or, you know, stepping off the act as you're drawing, shooting, you know, moving left or right so that if I'm drawing for a reason or a CCW hold, if somebody's attacking me or the attack has already started or it's threat, but I'm drawing my pistol, well, should I do that standing or should I, you know, should I try to take a 2.5-3 foot sidestep to the right? Well, I think it would behoove me being advantageous to move, you know, so if there's an attack coming at me, whether it's a pistol, whether it's another weapon, whether it's a personal weapon, you know, a fist, whatever, I'd simply move. Well, now the attacker is going to have to adjust to that. But at the same time, I'm drawing my firearm to defend myself. So there are so many things that go along with just outside of just going out and shooting the pistol at a paper target, you know?
Sure.
How are you going to carry? Why? Again, getting used to drawing from different holsters, different pistols. It's huge because under stress, when it's a real attack, it's going to be a lot different than going out shooting paper targets and pop cans, you know, or going down to the Centennial Gun Club and shooting in a controlled environment. So,
And you've talked about this before on previous shows. And again, not getting on, you know, our police men and women because we appreciate them. But in that moment, you've talked about a percentage of rounds that actually hit the intended target.
Yeah, it's less than 20%. It's, you know, so it's
and they're trained.
Less than one. Yes, yes, less than one out of every five bullets that we shoot out of our weapons on duty. You know, in a real situation, they hit their what their intended target is, and they're trained. You're right, and. They're trained, and they also operate at a heightened sense of stress level each day. You know, it's not through the roof like you see during calls, you know, down there at the STEM school where, you know, it's the call of a lifetime. Those cops are going to a call that they'll never forget, that their actions will be forever, you know, Monday morning quarterbacked later on as soon as the dust settles. And it's stressful. You know, there's not a timeout and there's not a redo, you know, in a situation like that. Or, you know, it's just dealing with a neighbor dispute, you know, or the theft suspect, you know, at Walmart. So it's not always that high zero, you know, 99 mile an hour stress level, but it's a higher stress level, you know, that they operate on every day going to their calls. And yet they still fail and they still, you know, have issues under stress, you know, when it comes down to it. So, you know, with all the hours and hours of training they get, firearms training and other stuff, and the hours and hours of just operating on a heightened sense awareness and high stress level, they still miss. Mm-hmm. So you get a concealed weapon holder that's never been in a fist fight or never pulled their weapon on another human being and intend to use it. That's a whole nother story, you know, and you know, that's the biggest thing with shooters. Like, well, I can shoot better than most cops. You probably can. I'm not trying to tell you that every cop is a you know United States Pistol Association a champion.
Right.
But it's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the stress, and that's what you don't get. It's the stress of the foot chase. It's the stress of the already being shot at. It's the stress of not hitting people that are behind my targets, or it's the stress of it's the elements. It's the rain. It's the low lights. How many people go out and shoot in low light? Nobody does it.
Sure.
You know, everybody shoots in a perfect environment, indoors or outdoors during the day. You know, unless they take advanced training, and it's all those different factors. We're shooting through mediums. You know, most time we're shooting through glass, shooting through car doors. It's a whole different ballgame. You know. You know, most responsible, though, CCW holders will realize that, and they'll get the training. And you don't have to get trained all the time, and even if it's not from us. But take a training class once a year that's something different than what you've done before, whether it's a $150 pistol class or it's a, you know, $200-$300 advanced class of some sort, you know, reality-based like what we do, a lot of our scenario training, whatever. That's a small investment. You'll burn more ammo. You'll burn more money on ammo training the wrong way than if you pay for, you know, a weekend of our classes, you know.
Absolutely. Joe Dedon is our guest, TAC1 Consulting. His number is 720-425-5687. Once again, July 20th, he's going to have an open enrollment here, and we're going to have Joe on several times here between now and the end. We'll give you all the details on this, but I hope you'll give him a call, 720-425-5687. So, Joe, our last 3 or 4 minutes here. What's the answer? What's it going to take for the school to understand about this training and get some police presence there or security there that's armed and trained? Is it going to be the parents listening to this show that are going to have to go to school districts and say, hey, you know what, we're not going to stand for this anymore. You guys got to spend the money and do this. I mean, what's it going to take?
Yeah, you know, and it's a good point on that. And that's what it's going to have to be. And honestly, it's going to have to be the parents because, you know, you look at all the school shootings we've had, you know, over the years, and nothing seems to change. And we're getting better. And yes, they are. I know the school districts are trying hard. The police departments are trying hard. But the fact of the matter is we can't be there at every single moment. And It's always so political, regardless of whether it's the gun control debate or it's the aggressive training.
Well, you look at this vigil. This vigil the kids tried to have the other day turned into this big political thing. Yeah,
completely, completely. Those guys were en route to Colorado before the poor victims were even probably seen at the hospital. So, you know, you've got all these lobbyist groups coming out trying to disguise their agenda. And regardless of what their agenda is, the stance of gun control, that's never going to be the answer. And there's so many different things. And if that is a part of the answer, it's only one piece, right? There's a spider web of problems with society and everything else that's creating these problems. Parenting is one of them. There you go. You know, and holding people accountable for their actions as a young kid, and telling people, teaching kids right from wrong, as a society, you know. But it's going to have to be the parents, you know, because here's the thing: it's like I said, it's either, well, we don't want this, we don't want to have an armed presence in school because we don't believe in firearms. Okay, that's not the answer either. Or we don't have the money for it. Well, you have the money for it if it's important to you. So the politics is not necessarily even just the gun debate of putting more guns inside schools. It's the money, it's the funding, you know, it's the school boards too, it's the superintendents, they're elected, it's the county commissioners, they're elected, you know. So a lot of it is politicking, not necessarily the Second Amendment side of politics, but the money part too. And without holding these people accountable, the voters and these community members, they won't make certain big changes like this. You know, these parents got to be adamant about it, and they got to know how to approach them, because the school districts will give them that dog and pony show response about how well prepared they are. But it sounds great to the normal person, but for someone like me or others out there that are subject matter experts in this, it's nothing. It's not. It sounds great, but it's really not the best plan. Whether it's, you know, the SRO or the armed security need to be in there, or arming teachers, more teachers. We have that program where we can arm teachers or faculty members. Most school districts in the metro area, they don't do that. It's the rural ones, you know, because they get it. Because the county sheriff out there says, yes, it's a great idea. My deputies, the two that I have, we have 300 square miles to patrol. So that one school that's 40 miles outside of town, you need to arm your staff, you know.
Right.
So it's a political debate, and it's money. And the only way you'll get through it is if the parents go to these schools and get involved and just ride them, because, you know, they're, it's not going to be an easy one, and they just got to keep it up, keep being a bug on, you know, a pest.
Sure.
A pest for them, and keep the conversation going, because they'll do their thing. They'll promise everything. They'll have their meeting, and two years from now, we'll be talking about the same stuff, about how their teachers aren't getting the best training, their students aren't getting involved in the training, and they're not putting more armed teachers in these schools, because nothing will get done when it comes down to it. It's all about politics and money.
Yep, you're right, bud. Well, Joe, hey, man, I know you're busy, and I know you spent an hour with us. We appreciate it, and we will definitely get our calendars together and get you on several more times here over these next few weeks. So we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Scott. And, really appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
All right, bud. Same here. TAC 1 Consulting, 720-425-5687. 720-425-5687. Again, thanks, Dr. Mark Riggs, for letting us have his time this last half hour. He will be with us with 5280 Functional Medicine next Friday at 12:30. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.